Teams, I'd like you to please suggest some titles or first lines of songs likely to be popular with the medical profession. And Tim, I'd like you to start.
Knees up, Mother Brown.
When I heard the desperately sad news that Tim Brooke Taylor had died, it gradually dawned on me how long we'd known each other. We were not only close friends for almost 60 years, our entire adult lives, but in all that time, not one year passed when we didn't work together, on TV and radio, on stage and at comedy festivals. I got to know him well, and as he was at pains to point out, he was not at all like the character he played in The Goodies.
I found my character the least likeable, but the only thing that was really accurate for me was that my character was a coward, and to be honest, so am I.
I'm not sure I'd use the word coward. Tim's performance certainly wasn't fearless, but that never stopped him having a go. No matter how scary the stunt or how tricky the tune, Tim would attack it courageously, and he'd take the audience with him. They found him not only hilarious, but also adorable.
Finally, Tim, could you please accompany Pink Fong singing their huge internet hit, Baby Shark?
Mommy shark to do 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 do, mommy shark to do 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 do, mommy shark to do 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 do, mommy shark.
Daddy shark to do 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 do, daddy shark to do 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 do, daddy shark to do 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 do, daddy shark.
Grandma shark to do 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 do, grandma shark to do 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 do, grandma shark. Grandpa shark to do 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 do, grandpa shark to do 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 do, grandpa shark to do 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 do, grandpa shark. Let's go hunting do 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 do,
let's go.
Tim and I first met at Cambridge University, where we both belonged to the Footlights Club. It was an extraordinary time, and our fellow club members included Bill Oddie, John Cleese, Graham Chapman, Clive James and Eric Idle. Here's Eric.
I owe my entire career to Tim Brooke Taylor. Well, all right, and Bill Oddie too, but he probably still regrets it. Because I auditioned for them in January 1963 at Cambridge University for the Pembroke College Smoking Concert, a prestigious college review started in the days of Peter Cook. I went in with three guys, and they threw the other two out and kept me, changing my life completely from that second. Isn't that odd, the Goodies auditioning a future Python? Now, Tim was very funny that year when the Cambridge Review, unbelievably, went to Broadway. Wow. But what was unique about Tim, I think, is his kindness, especially to new people, his lack of attitude, his desire to see everyone do well. And that's not always true in show business, but it was always true of him. So good night, Tim, and thank you. I owe you absolutely everything.
Soon after leaving university, a whole bunch of us were hired by the BBC to do a radio show called I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again. It grew out of that Broadway-bound Footlights tour, which was called Cambridge Circus. I don't think any of us thought comedy could be a serious career. It was just something we loved doing, and going on the radio mob-handed gave us all the courage to give it a go. Tim had a talent for female impersonations. Before I'd even met him, I'd seen him in a Footlights review playing a kind of Lady Bracknell character in an Oscar Wilde send-up. On radio, this performance evolved into a monster called Lady Constance de Coverlet, who became a great audience favourite. When she arrived in a sketch, people would stand and cheer.
So they all piled into Teddy's own bone shaker and motored down to Coincidence Towers. Pretty soon they were gazing at one of England's biggest country seats.
Mummy, Mummy, come and meet Teddy and Rupert there.
All right, I'll get undressed now.
An early fan of Tim and Lady Constance was Stephen Fry.
The first ever impressions I did as a schoolboy, in fact, were of Tim's wild baggage of a dowager, Aunt Constance, on the radio comedy, I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, from which Clue, of course, was spun. So The first time I was asked to do the show, I was wetting myself with nerves when I arrived at the old Paris studios in London. Tim had been doing the show for a couple of decades, I reckon, by this time, but he immediately took in my nervousness and said, "I know, it's terrifying, isn't it? We'll just have to help each other get through it." Which was brilliant psychology and terrific kindness. At least that's what I thought at the time. But really, the more I got to know Tim, I saw that aside from the genuine sweetness and consideration in that remark, it actually reflected the truth. His genius was to make every time the first time. There was never any leaning back on it. No, "Oh, I know how to do this, just watch me," you know. I got the sense that the audience always understood that about him and loved him for it.
What listeners at home couldn't know was how funny Tim was as a physical comedian. That became clear to his fans in the shows he did on television, with John Cleese, Graham Chapman and Marty Feldman, including at last the 1948 show, for which Tim devised and performed in the famous Four Yorkshiremen sketch.
"We used to get up at three, clean the lake, eat a handful of hot gravel, then we'd work in mill for 20 hours for twopence a month, then we'd come home and Dad would beat us about the head and neck with a broken bottle, if we were lucky.
Paradise. We had it tough. I used to have to get out at shoebox at midnight, lick road clean, eat a couple of bits of coal gravel, work 23 hours a day at mill for a penny every 4 years, and when we got home, Dad used to slice us in half with a bread knife."
The 1970s became the goodies years for me and Tim and Bill Oddie.
Tim had a natural endearing disposition. If he was posh, he was acting, often in drag and with boundless energy. His enthusiasm and willingness to come up with some very silly voices continued to match his predilection for wearing even sillier costumes. This, of course, was perfect for the role of the goodies. Tim was a delight to work with, inventive, physically funny, and very silly. Nobody could ever replace Timbo.
As Bill and I wrote the scripts for the goodies, we often gave Tim the most hair-raising stunts to do, or the most embarrassing costumes to wear. But I think he looked his most glamorous in a show we did about personality politics, where he played a cross between Margaret Thatcher and Evita, going by the name Timita.
"Oh, Marge, I do so worry that Timita will not be elected to the position of power she so richly deserves."
"She can do it. I know she can."
"She deserves to.
But will the people vote for her?"
"Because she's a woman. Is that it, Tina?"
"Oh, Marge, it's so unfair. I could weep."
"Oh, Tina, so could I."
"Don't cry for me, Marge and Tina. Vote for Timita, no one can beat her. For Marge and Tina, for everybody."
Tim in full flow was a treat to watch, and often I was able to sit back and watch him do his stuff in total admiration. I had the best seat in the house. That was never more true than on our radio show, The Antidote to Panel Games, I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, which started in 1972. Here he could indulge his love of wordplay.
"Tim, try to finish off this 'well done in your job' interview card, please. Magnificent, marvellous, wonderful, brill. Talented, gifted, consummate skill."
"Shrewd, adroit, crafty, clever and porous. These are all words from Roger's thesaurus."
In the beginning, the show was quite a chore. After the pilot, we all gathered in the pub and said never again. But Radio 4 commissioned a series and we kept doing it. Or some of us did. Bill Oddie did the first few shows but didn't enjoy it, nor did John Cleese, who once upended a jug of water over his microphone so that he wouldn't have to join in one of the rounds. Barry Cryer became a regular.
"What can one say about Tim? Over 50 years of friendship and working together. And the radio show Clue, which started in 72, it was early on apparent that Tim, in the best possible way, was the odd one out. The audience could identify with him. He would do bewilderment, and always a gentleman. Immaculate manners he had. Using a cricket analogy, I thought he was a gentleman in the midst of all us vulgar players. Oh, boy, I miss you, Tim.
Sandy Toksvig.
It's odd what you remember about someone. The public perception of Tim Brooke Taylor is one of the funny guys in the goodies, the cheeky one with the floppy hair, who was allowed to steer the bicycle made for three. The guy who probably looked the most vulnerable. Well, that's all true, but it's not what I will recall. He and I had it in common that we'd both wasted precious years at Cambridge studying law, but I don't think either of us ever mentioned it. We bonded over golf, laughed at our own ineptitudes, and I felt at home. It was a feeling which was to last for more than 20 years. Probably sounds odd, but I think I shall remember his hands. Neat nails with fingers which curved slightly as he gripped the piece of paper with lyrics on it, ready to sing Girlfriend in a Coma by the Smiths to the tune of Tiny Tim's Tiptoe Through the Tulips, or whatever it might be. The last performance I did with him was at the Richmond Theatre in West London. As usual, we met beforehand to go over any material we were doing as a pair. We had tea, and then painstakingly went through each suggestion with Tim, adamant that no idea should be discarded, that I should never feel imposed upon. He would talk with delight about his family, his golf handicap, and whether it'd be all right to have one more biscuit. At the theatre we had sandwiches together and more tea, as if we were really just some comfortable old couple on a day out. Then we went out onto the stage and the audience roared as he was introduced. I watched his hands holding his script. I knew he'd be brilliant. And he was. He always was.
Tim and Sandy, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Dirty Harry. Dirty Harry.
So off you go, please, Tim and Sandy.
It's a film, and it's two words, and it goes like this. Potter?
Yes, sir?
Don't do that.
Sorry, sir.
Jack D.
My first memories of Tim are from my childhood, when he was in the goodies. Tim was the one I identified with most, really, because he often played the role of the injured innocent, the one who'd been led astray. He was brilliant at showing his vulnerability for comic effect. And much of the goodies was quite robust knockabout slapstick, and I remember really loving it when Tim would respond to a situation by crying, because a man simply blubbing in the face of adversity was the antithesis of what we're taught to expect from our heroes, so it was all the funnier for it. Naturally, finding myself working alongside Tim in my role as host of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue was really a great thrill, and I could never resist tapping into his talent for playing the victim of injustice. In the round called Mornington Crescent, I would quite unfairly prohibit Tim's move just to elicit that wonderful air of injured innocence from him that I had loved so much as a child.
This week we'll be playing Timed Mornington Crescent. Any player who exceeds the time limit will be penalised. So, we start the clock in a second. Tim, you can start.
Oxford.
Bad luck. Moving on. Jeremy.
Turnham Green.
Turnham Green. Jan.
Ongar.
Ongar. Barry.
Edgware.
Edgware. Tim.
Oxford Circle.
You'd be a bit quicker at this, Tim. Jeremy.
Tower Hill.
Barry.
King's Road.
Kew Gardens.
Green Park.
The clock wasn't going. No good going when the clock isn't going. Tim.
Tim was a great team player. It was always a pleasure to have him on your side in a sketch or playing a silly game. One of his regular partners was our Clue accompanist, the long-suffering Colin Sell.
Accompanying Tim was always an exciting challenge. That he had an unerring instinct for gaining on me in terms of tempo and challenging me in terms of key only made the experience all the more electrifying.
OK, Tim, You're going to sing the Spice Girls Ivor Novello Award-winning Wannabe to the tune of Model of a Modern Major General by Gilbert and Sullivan.
Tell you what I want, what I really, really, really want. So tell me what you want, what you really, really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really, really want. So tell me what you really, really, really want. I wanna, I really, really wanna, really, zigga, zigga, zaka, ah. If you want my future, forget my past. If you want to get with me, better make it fast. If you want to get with me, better make it fast. If you want to get I'll tell you what I want and what I really, really, really. That's quite enough of that. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Tim never failed to indicate me at the piano when the audience applauded. Dear Tim, he was just a delight and a privilege to know. Together we worked on over 45 years' worth of songs. And in another 45, who knows, we might have got some of them right.
Rachel Paris and Marcus Brigstock.
You know, one of my favourite things about him, and I'm sorry I haven't a clue, is I love people who can't sing, who are made to sing, and just absolutely go for it.
That's the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
And for people who maybe heard Tim but didn't ever see him do those live, he danced. Like, he'd always dance and twist his body around a lot, actually.
Didn't you have him on Never Seen Star Wars?
Yeah, he was. So Tim was on the first series of I've Never Seen Star Wars. And one of the things he claimed he'd never done was buy pornography. So we arranged for him to go to a shop in Soho and go and buy a Mucky magazine. And he picked up a magazine and he took it up to the till. And the guy in the shop looked at him, which is probably Tim's worst nightmare because he knew he'd been recognised. And the guy said to him, sorry, mate, do I know you from the telly or something? And Tim immediately went, yes, my name's Bill Oddie.
Tim's ambition was always to get the laugh, whatever the cost. Apart from that, I don't think he was especially ambitious.
I always said the two things that I wanted to do was to score the winning goal for England in the World Cup final and be on Top of the Pops with Pants People. I've got one of them.
Do, do, do the funky gibbon. We are here to show you how. Ooh, 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 the funky gibbon.
Although Tim loved his appearances on Top of the Pops and going out to dinner afterwards with Pan's People, sport was his real enthusiasm. He was madly keen on football, especially his beloved Derby County. Andy Hamilton.
I was often paired with Tim on I'm Sorry, I'm a Clue, which was very enjoyable and probably just as well for everybody else. Because Tim and I both like to witter on about football. And in these conversations, Tim never failed to mention the fact that the entire Derby County championship-winning team had come on stage during his edition of This Is Your Life. He was very, very proud and thrilled by that, and rightly so.
And Tim loved golf. In fact, he made several videos with tips about technique. That passion never left him. He and I were in a radio studio a couple of years ago when the rocker Alice Cooper walked in. Alice and Tim immediately plunged into a conversation about golf that seemed to last for hours. Tim loved to chat over a glass or two of wine, and he was the most sociable companion you could ask for. Miles Jupp.
Tim, as well as being a very funny man and actor, as can be witnessed by his work in so many classic sketches, was also a very gentle and kind man with a capacity for empathy that's not always in evidence in this particular industry. And he really did do so much stuff. I remember him giving me a lift once from Canterbury to Norwich and telling me fabulous and in some cases repeatable stories for the whole journey. He'd worked with everyone. A few of us were sitting in a dressing room in January this year talking about the film Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when he suddenly offered up the fact that he'd actually worked with Sharon Tate in a film with Orson Welles. You know, a remarkable snippet.
Tim was a great family man who adored spending time with his grandchildren. And at the same time, he was a committed professional who always turned up and gave his very best performance. For many years, he prided himself on never missing a single recording of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. And although he was eventually forced to miss one or two, he still held the record for attendance. David Mitchell.
I first became aware of Tim Brooke Taylor when I was an adoring comedy fan growing up in the 80s, from the goodies and the cassettes of I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again that I listened to obsessively. So by the time I met him, he'd probably been making me laugh for about 30 years, and I was only 35. Could have been a bit intimidating if he hadn't already sent me a lovely email welcoming me into the I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue fold and saying, "Be sure everyone is on everyone else's side." That certainly isn't always the case in the comedy world, or in life, for that matter. But it was true of Clue and of Tim's approach to it. He was such a joyful, witty, silly presence, and a very generous laugher. I'm so proud to have known and worked with Tim. His twinkling, impish sense of fun will be missed by millions.
Word meanings are constantly changing, team, so I'd like you to share any new definitions you may have spotted recently. Maybe, Tim, you could start us off.
Bacchanalian, to bet on a Martian. Lamentable. The Sunday roast is ready. Insolent, to fall off the Isle of Wight ferry. Onomatopoeia, when you don't quite make the toilet bowl.
On I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, Tim and Willie Rushton struck up a wonderful partnership. After Willie died in 1996, Tim was joined by a parade of star comedians. Appearing on Clue for the first time could be nerve-wracking, but Tim always made his teammate feel at home. In a way, he was the real host. Susan Kalman.
The first time I was asked to take part in I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, I was terrified. It was the fact that it was one of those shows, you know, the ones that are part of the history of comedy. When I arrived, I was told I'd be on Tim's team, and from the very moment I met him, I knew I would be okay. He was patient, calming, reassuring, and so very funny. I remember the first time I made him laugh. I don't think I've ever been prouder. We would email each other in between shows, and he was so encouraging and welcoming in a way I'll never forget. As mentors go, he was truly one of the best. He was a gentle man, a brilliant comic, and above all, a wonderful friend. Tim was great, and I will miss him.
Harry Hill.
I idolised Tim Brooke Taylor and all the goodies as a kid, to the extent that for a long time, I imagined that I was a kind of combination between all three. Of course, the first time I did Clue, I was extremely nervous, and Tim kind of looked after me, and I really appreciated that. I mean, it didn't work because I was nervous just sitting there thinking to myself, I'm sitting next to the guy who I've only ever seen before in that Union Jack waistcoat.
Tim's easy, sociable charm wasn't reserved for the stars he worked with. His audiences adored him not least because he was approachable and jolly at the stage door after performances, however tired he might have been. He was happy to chat with his fans, have his photo taken and sign autographs, as Rory Bremner recalls.
I first met Tim in 1974. I was 13, a schoolboy in Edinburgh, queuing up to get my copy of the Goodies file and to get their autographs. They were such heroes of mine. I loved the Goodies, loved that series, and had no idea that 40 years later I'd be lucky enough to be working with Tim, writing little sketches together for Clue. And he was so lovable, so easy to work with, and such a lovely man, really. And that's what shone through all of it. He was a very happy man, and there's a lesson for us all. Be happy. God bless you, Tim.
Rob Brydon.
Well, I met Tim, first of all, at an awards do. And then not long after that, I was asked to go on I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. And I was on Tim's team, and that's how it remained over all the years that I did the show. And I would always look forward hugely to seeing him. Because, as everybody has said, he was just a thoroughly lovely man with just a natural flair for comedy. It was just who he was.
Pippa Evans.
We were sat at the dinner table after one of the recordings, and I was asking Tim about all the things he'd done in his amazing career, The Goodies, The Secret Policeman's Ball, and obviously Banana Man. But then he mentioned in passing that he was in Willy Wonka with Gene Wilder, and I was so amazed because I loved that film. And my favourite part was the computer scientist, which, unbeknownst to me, was a young Tim Brooke Taylor. If you haven't seen the film, he's programming a computer to find the remaining golden tickets. And when it refuses to join in, he aggressively presses the buttons and says, "I'm now telling the computer exactly what he can do with a lifetime supply of chocolate," which is something I say when a computer's being annoying. And whilst I was gushing about this tiny part he played in a kids' film from the 70s, he laughed and said, "I can't help but be slightly disappointed that of all the things I've done, that's the one you're most impressed by." And I guess that goes to show you never know what you're going to be remembered for. But I will remember Tim for that.
Tim will be remembered for a great deal more than his admittedly iconic appearance in Willy Wonka. In The Goodies and all through his career, he had a signature joke. When his character started to panic, which he often did, he would stand with one hand on his hip and the other cocked in the air, then dip back and forth, shrieking, "I'm a teapot! I'm a teapot!" During one panto season, he told me, he stood at the front of the stage, put a hand on his hip and the other in the air and called out, "What am I, children?" And a little boy shouted, "You're a very silly man." I don't think that's a bad epitaph.
That was 47 Years Without a Clue, a tribute to Tim Brooke Taylor, written and narrated by Graham Garden, with contributions from Eric Idle, Rob Brydon, Colin Sell, Barry Cryer, Jack D, Sandy Toksvig, Susan Kalman, Pippa Evans, Rachel Paris, Marcus Brigstock, Bill Oddie, Harry Hill, David Mitchell, Rory Bremner, Andy Hamilton, Miles Jupp, and Stephen Fry. The producer was John Naismith.